Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This show is sponsored by our members who made donations. We'd like to give them a very big thank you. We have to cover the monthly costs of the radio station's software, bandwidth, phone lines and phone calls to be able to continue with the radio show. And thank you for listening. Today my guest is Russell from the United States, who takes LDN for hyperthyroidism, Graves' disease and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Thank you for joining us today, Russell.
Hi, Linda. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you. And
So could you tell us, when did you first notice there was something wrong? How long ago was that?
So first for me, it was with the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, the cancer. It was back in 2016. Well, that's when I got diagnosed, but I had a lump on my arm near my elbow, and I had saw a lot of, I saw my primary care physician for it, and you know, I'm fairly young. I'm 29, just turned 29, actually, a couple of weeks ago on February 1st, and no one was thinking that it was cancer at the time. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's a rare chance that it could be. But you won't know until you get it taken out or get a biopsy or anything like that. At the time, I was busy working, and I kind of, drugged my feet a little bit to actually get the imaging studies that were requested and, those type of things done, just being busy with work. So it turned out to be about 14 months later when I actually got diagnosed. And that's when I got the cancer diagnosis, the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's called anaplastic large cell lymphoma, and it's a T-cell lymphoma, and it's highly aggressive. And it's they diagnose it as systemic because I had a lymph node, and it can end up anywhere and everywhere in the body very quickly. And, by the grace of God, at that time, I was diagnosed as stage one. So that was surgically removed. I'm kind of taking a step back. So that was surgically removed. That's how I was actually found out what it was. And so then they referred me to an oncologist. And so I saw an oncologist, and, they recommended chemotherapy. So I did the chemotherapy, first-line therapy, CHOP. And in that context, it was adjuvant therapy, from what I understand, based on the terminology, because, I had PET scans, CT scans done, after that biopsy, and there was no other detectable disease at the time. So it was stage one. And they said, oh, since this is stage one, and, we think we, can take care of this with the first line therapy. And it was they said a 90% chance of long-term durable remission or cure with chemotherapy. Then 10 months later, I started to get skin lesions that were just popping up. And I'm saying that now because I know what they are now, but at the time they just looked like little bumps. And, they started on the legs and the arms, and they got on the back, and I had some on the face, and not a whole lot on my face, but mostly on the limbs and, trunk and stuff like that of the body. And it's like, well, I just want you to go in and get this checked out. So I told my oncologist about it, and he saw some of them, and he's like, oh, this kind of, doesn't look like anything cancer related, but then we'll recommend you to the lymphoma dermatology oncological specialist. So, and I was kind of like, well, what am I seeing this guy for? I mean, this doesn't look like cancer, but they just wanted to make sure. So I saw him, and, he's used to seeing these type of things. And, it was kind of shocking to me when I saw his face, because he was puzzled. He was kind of like, or not puzzled, I should say, but he was concerned that this was cancer. And so I did some biopsies there, and they started checking lymph nodes, and they found the lymph node in the groin. And I was like, oh, we need you to go, you know, and get this lymph node biopsied as well. So those biopsy results came back. So it came back as a recurrence for the primary lymphoma, the anaplastic large cell in the groin. And then I had metastases to my skin. And with that, of that same primary lymphoma, then there was one of the other skin biopsies that was done. It was suspicious for another type of skin lymphoma called mycosis fungoides, but they were kind of, you know, going back and forth because it kind of looked like the primary anaplastic large cell lymphoma and this other type. So then the recommendations, you know, after all those findings were collected, I met with my primary oncologist again. I was like, well, we have this second line therapy. We still believe there's a high chance to cure this. And those were the terms they used. And so I went through that, and I did four rounds of targeted drugs called brentuximab, so monoclonal antibody. And within two cycles, I got another remission. All the skin lesions, you know, went down, and the lymph nodes in the groin were gone. And then the oncologist said, well, in order for us to cure you, we need to get you into high-dose chemotherapy with a stem cell transplant. So this is not just the normal chemo. I mean, this is like, you know, high dose. They give you enough chemo where they wipe out, you know, everything that's in your bone marrow, and they rescue you with a stem cell transplant. So so I was like, you know, at the kind of against that, because I looked into a lot of you know, the side effects and long-term stuff that's associated with that. And there's just a lot of risk. And with me being young, and I was never in favor of doing that. And so my plan then was, after I got the remission, you know, which the remission was done about the second cycle. And so I did two more additional. Then after that, my plan was to try to, you know, pursue some holistic type treatment. And, to try to, you know, keep it away or whatsoever. But, you know, look, shortly after that, maybe 2 to 3 weeks after I was done with that chemo, I started to get skin lesions again. So I mean, that kind of shocked me as well. That was pretty quick. I was like, holy cow. You know, I just got off of the chemotherapy. So I went back in, got some more biopsies, and, you know, sure enough, it was the same, you know, stuff in my skin again, this with this lymphoma. And it was like, well, now, since I, you know, it came back so rapidly. They were like, well, you know, if you don't go into this, you know, high dose chemotherapy with the stem cell transplant, we wouldn't expect, you know, a person with your condition and with the relapses and stuff like that to live past 6 months. So that was kind of, I was like, oh, wow. So
then, yes.
Yeah. So then, you know, that was in January of 2018. So, I mean, I wasn't convinced that that was going to cure me, because the data that they supplied for me, you know, the bone marrow transplant team and my primary oncologist, I mean, the data was showing a 30% chance of survival for 3 years, you know, and they were saying that's a cure. I was trying to be objective as possible. And I mean, it just didn't pan out to me. I mean, I have a 3-year-old, and I'm thinking to myself, it's like, well, how is this going to cure me? You know, and there's no data showing 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years. But I don't know. That's what they told me, and that's what the data said. So that's when I decided to, you know, not pursue any more conventional therapy. You know, so I stepped outside of the standard of care, and I went to a clinic down in Mexico, Chipsa Hospital, and I got some, treatment down there, and some natural therapies and some immune therapy called colistoxins toxins. And this is how we're starting to get into the point where I started my LDN. So after, you know, all those treatments and stuff I did down there, actually I responded pretty well. You know, a lot of the skin lesions I had, probably about 95% of those were gone when I came back home. But right before I left Mexico, they had tested just normal thyroid panel testing, and my TSH was like really, really low. It was like, I think it was like 0.05. And so when I got back here, I got the results and they sent them to me an email, and I saw my functional medicine doctor, and he was like, whoa, this looks like Graves' disease. So I'm like, oh my gosh, here, this is, you know, I got another condition. I'm, you know, trying to deal with the cancer. And so he did some more tests and some thyroid antibody tests and TSI, those tests like that. And my TSI came back. It was elevated, positive for Graves' disease. So then that's when he had recommended for me to take LDN, low-dose naltrexone. So I started taking that, and he started me off at 1.5 milligrams. And the plan was to escalate that dose over, go up 1.5 milligrams every 2 weeks. But what I found is that I wasn't able to do that initially. I mean, somewhat, I'll explain that a little bit. I went from, I think it was what, 1.5 to 3 in 2 weeks. And I tried to go to 4.5 then in the next week. And I had some side effects. So I was like, whoa, I just felt so exhausted the next day. And, really tired and fatigued, muscle aches and stuff like that. So I, you know, took a step back and I went back to 3 and took that for a little bit longer, then asked my doctor, you know, if it would be okay if I just went to 4. So I did that for probably a couple weeks. Then I finally went to the 4.5, and that's where I'm at now, taking that every night at bedtime. And some of the side effects that I've experienced, it's very low. And that's one of the things I like about LDN. There's very low side effects, but it did cause sleep disturbances for me in the beginning. And every once in a while, I'll have an issue where I'll find myself, you know, awake in the, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. But I started taking some magnesium with that, because that's been shown to help with sleep and stuff like that. So that's actually been helping me quite a bit here over the last couple months. And so I've been taking it. So I don't know if I mentioned when I first started it. I started it back in, April of 2018. So I'm coming up to about a year and on the LDN. But other than that, I think those were all the side effects that I experienced. And one other interesting synergy I think I experienced with LDN, because I'm doing this holistic protocol, Gerson therapy, those different type of therapies for just the maintenance and to keep this cancer from coming back. And I'll kind of, I'm not jumping over the place here, but I'll kind of come back to the cancer part a little bit too, because I believe it's helping there as well. Mm-hmm. But so all the therapies I mentioned, I was doing this colistoxin toxin, this immunotherapy. It's a mixed bacterial vaccine. It's a non-infectious, and it's just a dead bacteria, but I won't go too much into the details or the history behind that, but it's a very old, Dr. William Coley was considered the father of immunotherapy. And he actually came up with the formulation for this mixed bacterial vaccine, and found out that, what he saw is that a patient that had a sarcoma, and I think it was a bone sarcoma. This patient was not supposed to survive this disease, and he actually, Coley found him alive and well, long after he was supposed to be gone. And he, they looked into the records and found out what actually happened to him. But this man was breaking out into high fevers and chills and shakes. So he had this erysipelas infection, and Dr. Coley believed that caused tumor regression, and he, being of a scientist, actually tried to reproduce that, and he was able to do that by infecting people with live bacteria, but he killed a lot of people. And this is well documented in the medical literature, with Dr. Coley and his results. But so then he actually, you can't kill people giving them something to treat a condition. So he actually, thought that, hey, what if I heat killed this bacteria and gave it to people? Then, he didn't, cause any mortality associated with it, but he did have some tumor regression. And, but anyway, so that's a little bit of history behind this vaccine. But there's some literature out there that shows that LDN has the potential to help the maturation of dendritic cells. And you know, Coley's, this vaccine actually, it works through your dendritic cells. And from my experience, when I started taking LDN and continuing my immunotherapy vaccine, I noticed more, the reactions from the vaccine were more intensified. And it, that didn't happen before. Like, actually, I responded better. Like, one of the metrics for this vaccine is it does cause you to have high fevers. And, you know, I didn't really get them consistently. And but once I started, you know, using LDN and the vaccine, I mean, it actually, you know, I was getting consistent, you know, high fevers and some record temperatures and stuff like that. But so I thought that was pretty interesting. So all my doctors were kind of on board with me using that. So I was working with my doctor. I just wasn't, you know, doing experiments and stuff like that by myself. But so kind of, I think that's the gist of with the vaccine. But back to with the Graves' disease, like I mentioned, I started taking it in April of last year, and about 3 months after that, in July, I had more thyroid testing done, and my Graves' disease went into remission. You know, just in those 3 months of taking LDN, so that was pretty, I was pretty sold on using it. And like I said, I still use it to this day. So, so regarding the cancer, so like I said, I've been taking it, and you know, also for the cancer, but and doing all these other things. But you know, as I mentioned, that my doctor mentioned in January of last year that I wasn't expected to live past 6 months without that high dose chemotherapy and stem cell transplant. And so now I'm actually, you know, it's almost, it'll be going on, what, 13 months since that prognosis. And I had a PET scan back in September of last year, and that actually showed that I didn't have any, you know, evidence of any tumors or anything like that. Wow. So that was a clear PET scan.
Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So I believe that LDN has helped as well, you know, like I said, especially with the vaccine and, you know, and so I am, you know, going to continue to take that. And another thing that's pretty interesting that I came across is, you know, there's a lot of talk now about cancer stem cells and circulating tumor cells. And, you know, the literature is saying that this is what causes a person to relapse. And, you know, what I found highly interesting is, you know, from some of Dr. Bahari's work and some of the information that's out there regarding some of the people that he gave LDN after they had, you know, successful cancer treatment, you know, even if it was conventional or whatsoever, surgery, mm-hmm. and that people tended not to relapse after taking LDN. And the connection here, and this is some of the conclusions that I've been drawing just from some of the research that I've been doing. But coming out of University of Michigan, Dr. Max Witch, I mean, they have one of the leading cancer stem cell research laboratories, and they're kind of leading the field in this. But one of the cytokines, and these are just inflammatory cytokines, but it's called interleukin-6, is what causes these cancer stem cells to go into proliferation cycle. And that's kind of what they found from their research. And the connection with LDN is I've seen some of the data that they looked at some of these cytokines that LDN affects. And this is in particular, I believe you probably know the doctor. I think I've heard you interview him. He did some clinical trials with fibromyalgia.
Jarrod Younger.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. Yes, that's his name there. And one of the top of on the top of that list, my memory serves me correctly, I believe it was tumor necrosis factor alphas, which is another typical transcription factor or cytokine. I forget specifically, but interleukin-6 is like the second one on that list. So LDN inhibits that. So I mean, like I said, these are some of the conclusions I'm drawing from my research. But so I mean, maybe that's by one of the mechanisms by which you know, LDN may keep a person in remission. And I've heard a couple testimonials of people, you know, having, you know, in remission from cancer, especially if LDN, you know, put that person in remission, mm-hmm. you know, and they stopped taking it and have a relapse again. And there's a guy, I think his name is Kevin. I think he had liver cancer. And I believe you interviewed him. And he mentioned that in an interview with you regarding the you know, after he stopped taking LDN, the liver cancer came back. I believe his name is Kevin. But anyways, I just thought that was interesting. Some other, you know, functional medicine doctors mm-hmm. have kind of reported some of the similar, you know, things happening. But
well, that's, you know, it's totally amazing. And I'm sure people find you an absolute inspiration. Definitely.
Yeah. So, I'm just very, I've been blessed. And, you know, I thank God for, you know, everything and, you know, the success I'm having and, you know, being in good health right now. And so that's, I got to give some credit there as well.
Yes. Well, long may you continue in the way in which you are and lead a normal, healthy, happy life.
Yes.
Thank you, Russell.
Okay, great. And you have a great day. And thank you for all that you do. And that's great. So,
thank you. This show is sponsored by our members who made donations. We'd like to give them a very big thank you. We have to cover the monthly costs of the radio station's software, bandwidth, phone lines and phone calls to be able to continue with the radio show. And thank you for listening. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.